Good morning, everyone. You know, I know there's maybe someone here this morning who have in their lives, and even maybe not, been neglected, looked upon with contempt and disdain it. But I tell you this morning, do not fear, do not fret about that. But you hold on to the blessed hope of Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
Amen.
And one of these days, we're going to meet in that great city. And we're going to meet and greet each other with joy and thanksgiving. Please. Turn it up a little, please. Thank you. I will meet you in the morning by the bright riverside, when all sorrow had drifted away. I'll be standing at the portal when the gates open wide, as the close of life, longer yet. I'll meet you in the morning with a
You know, while he was singing there, I was thinking about the rapture, and thinking about how wonderful it would be. Of course, we don't have anything to say about when Jesus is going to come or when that trumpet is going to blow. But wouldn't it be wonderful to be gathered here on a Sunday morning like this, worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden we hear the toot of that trumpet and we go up together to meet the Lord in the air. Wow, what a day that will be. Let's sing another song. I turned the heater off. Today is the first day in a little while, but it's springtime. I realize that, but somehow or other the weather hasn't caught up with it. It was a little bit chilly when I came in this morning, so I turned it on to knock the chill out of the air, and I think it has by now, and save us on our electric bill too. Speaking of bills, We got our water bill a couple of days ago, and during the month of March, 31 days this month, we used, I think, $1.35 worth of water. $1.35. The month before, and in February, which we had our rain and all that, it was, our total bill was about $250 for the month. We used up close to 30,000 gallons, they said. But though we used about $1.35 worth of water, our water bill was about $69 and some odd cents. Can you imagine that? All the rest that wasn't water was taxes and fees, which is a disguised tax. But that's the day and age in which we're living now. $250 water bill and use $5 worth of water. Isn't that something? Anyway.
So the water bill came down, right?
You bet it did.
Okay.
Yeah. But we got a minimum. We used one unit, they said, of water. They had to put something in there. They couldn't put zero. Anyway, that's the world we live in. Romans chapter 1. I like this scripture. Beginning in verse 14. Paul, the apostle, as he writes to the Christians in the church at Rome, says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. I like that word unwise. Sounds a lot better than ignorant, doesn't it? The wise, unwise. Yeah. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein, that is in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. There are two parts to what we call the gospel. The word gospel means good news. Good news. It's like a coin. Heads or tails. Look at a coin. One side, we call it heads. The other side, tails. I want to so impress the truth upon your minds today that every time that you look at a coin, regardless of its denomination, you'll think about it. I can remember back to the days of what they called the Great Depression, back in the 1930s. I was just a growing up boy back then. And one of the main coins that we had were pennies. Copper pennies with Abraham Lincoln's picture on the front of them. That was a big coin. With five of those pennies, you could buy a great big RC Cola or Pepsi Cola, twice as big as a Coke. With five of those, you could go in the store and buy a bar of candy that today costs you $1 to $1.25. Yeah. But, and we didn't have very much, many coins back in those days. If we had some pennies, we were rich. That was the, and you know, I don't remember now where we got them, but we didn't earn them because we didn't have no jobs to work at when I was a kid growing up. But we'd get a hold of pennies. And I still remember this. Among us kids, pennies were the gateway to gambling. Now, I don't know if any of you remember this or not, but it's like they say that marijuana today is the gateway to drug addiction. Pennies were the gateway to gambling. Because as soon as we got big enough to take a coin like that and flip it up, we could gamble. Didn't have no laws against it except what Mom and Daddy said. They didn't want to catch us doing that. But we boys would get together, and if we had a couple of pennies, we'd get together and we'd flip them up like that and catch them, not knowing heads or tails. Flip it over on the back of your wrist like that. And the other guy, he would do his like that, and you would match them. Now, if I called out heads and I looked at it and mine was tails and his wasn't, he got my penny. But if I called out heads and it was heads and his was heads, I got his penny. But that's not all we use pennies for. We'd have a pitching contest. There'd be a crack, you know, over here in the floor or something like that. And we'd take those pennies and pitch them at the crack. And the one that got the closest to the crack won. If we didn't have any cracks, most of the time we didn't have sidewalks back there, so we didn't have any cracks. But we'd pitch them up against the wall. You ever do that? And the one that lands the closest to the wall, he wins. So coins were the gateway to gambling. Now, one side of the coin we called heads. The other one we call tails. For purpose of my sermon today, we're going to call one side of this coin sin. The other side we're going to call salvation. Sin and salvation. It tells us of the eternal destination of our soul, where we will go when we die, whether it'll be heaven or hell, whether we'll be saved or lost. Now, on the sin side, we have Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have Ecclesiastes 7:20 that says, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Not a one. That's thus saith the Lord. Sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59:2 says, your iniquities have separated between you and God. And if we wait too long, it becomes eternal separation. Sin brings death. God's word says, the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. But if you take Romans 6:23 and turn that coin over, what does the other side say? Read it. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. See it? One is wages, the other is gift. Wages are earned. A gift is received. One is death, the other is life. But what is this death thing? Death equals eternity without God in the lake of fire with torment and torture and pain and agony. That's condemnation. But what is life? Life equals eternity with God in heaven, with happiness and joy and peace and fellowship. That's justification. That's salvation. Now, when you were born a sinner. It is not your fault that you're a sinner. It's not my fault that I'm a sinner. You and I didn't have anything to do with it. We were born that way. Think about it. How long have you been a sinner? I'm going to surprise you. David said in Psalm 51 verse 5, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. See, that makes you a sinner 9 months longer than you thought you were. You thought you were just a sinner when you were born. You were a sinner when you were conceived in your mother's womb. We are all under sin. Romans 3:9. And it's not our fault. We were born that way. Not that it matters, not that we can do anything about it, but it was Adam's fault. Back in Genesis chapter 3, you read about it. We became sinners because of something Adam did 5,929 years ago. You didn't have a chance. We are all sinners, condemned to death and eternal hell. Because sin is what we are. It's not what you do that makes you a sinner. Get that through your heads. It's not what you do that makes you a sinner. You always thought it did, but it's not. It is what you are. All human beings have it in common, regardless of race or nationality. Romans 3:10 says there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:19, all the world is guilty before God. And it's nobody's fault. And I'll tell you something else. Nothing But nothing can remove sin from the soul of man but the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. That's why Jesus came into the world. The stain of sin cannot be blotted out by good works or anything else that we could do. What can you compare it with? Let's go over into the book of Revelation, the 13th chapter, for an illustration. In Revelation 13, we find that there is coming a time when an evil personage will appear on the political and religious stage of humanity. There will be a merging of the religious and the political when the Antichrist appears to rule the world. He's going to consolidate all nations politically, and he's going to impose their religious standards upon all the people that they rule. Antichrist will also consolidate all religions into one, of which he will be the head. We're told that in the Jews' temple in Jerusalem, this is Revelation 13, that he will set up a statue, an image of himself, and demand that all of the people on the earth worship him as God. And he will have the power to enforce that demand. As many as will not worship him will be killed without mercy. But get this, he will also cause everyone to be branded with his number, 666. Without his number, I don't care how much money you have, you can't buy anything. And neither can you sell anything without his mark. But if you take his mark and get branded with his number, it will make God very angry. Bible says you will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and you shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. Don't take his mark. If there's anybody here in this congregation that is left on earth after the rapture takes place, whatever you do, don't take the mark of the beast. The smoke of your torment will ascend up forever and ever, and you will have no rest day nor night for all eternity. There's no let up to it. That's Revelation 14, verses 10 and 11. So that puts man in a dilemma, doesn't it? He's between a rock and a hard place. If he doesn't take the number 666, he's going to die by the hand of Antichrist or starve to death because he can't buy food. If he does take the number, he's going to die by the hand of God. You see both sides of the coin there? It's saying that you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. That's the mark of the beast. Now the Bible is very plain, and it says that if you are here today without Christ as your personal Savior, you've never been saved, you've never been born again, Bible says you're going to miss the rapture. Miss the rapture. When the trumpet sounds and the saved dead in Christ, whose bodies are buried in the cemeteries of the world, rise up to meet the Lord in the air in the twinkling of an eye, you'll get a new resurrected glorified body. And the living saints will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and both groups will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. But when that happens, if you're not saved, you will not be among them. You will not. Just think of it. If the trumpet should sound now and all of the saved here were taken out, if you were not saved, you'd still be sitting here in the pew watching everybody go up through the ceiling. You'd miss the rapture. And you'd sit here with an amazed look on your face watching them grow up, and you've missed it. And then the Antichrist will come around, and he will slap his brand on you. And then you'll be a member of his herd. That's the sin side of the coin. On the salvation side of the coin, first of all, we have the love of Almighty God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. Paul says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We have the love of God. For some reason or other, God loves sinners. He hates the sin, but he loves the sinners. And why? I don't know, because there's certainly not much lovable about a sinner, is there? Not much. But God proves his love by the sacrifice that he made on Calvary. There's nothing to compare with the John 3:16 love. And then we have the grace of God. It's the grace of God that provides free salvation. A salvation that nobody deserves. A salvation that no one can earn. A salvation that a majority of people reject and few even desire. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, and God the Son, took our punishment and died our death on the cross nearly 2,000 years ago. So what happens to sin? When we get saved, our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. How does that sound? Now on this planet Earth, we have a North Pole and we have a South Pole. You can go to the North Pole, and any direction you go from the North Pole, you're going south. You've got a North Pole and a South Pole. But go down to the equator. and you go all the way, 25,000 miles around the belly of this old earth, and you'll never meet yourself coming back. East is east, and west is west. There is no east pole, there is no west pole. If you're headed one direction, you will keep on going, circling the earth, you're going east. You turn around, you're going west, and never the twain shall meet. And that's as far as God has removed our sins from us. Isaiah 44, verse 22, our sins have been blotted out as though they had never happened. God says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Blotted out. Jeremiah 31, verse 34. Our sins are erased from God's memory. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Never to be remembered against you anymore. Micah chapter 7, verse 19. Our sins are buried in the deepest sea. Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And that's where you get the idea. It kind of goes along with global warming, but it's the rising of the waters of the ocean, you know. You take all the sins of everybody and you put them in the ocean, it's bound to cause the water to rise. First thing you know, the shores of the Pacific Ocean are lapping right at your backyard. Why? The waters have come up. Why? Because God's put all man's sins out there in it. You want to be careful about eating seafood, because those fish, why, they're more dangerous than those over there off the coast of Japan that got radiated. Those fish been out there eating your sins. You catch them and bring them in and skin them and fry them? No. That's off my diet. Buried in the depths of the sea. Poor fish. But where does that leave us? Cleansed. Justified. Forgiven. Saved. We've been born again into God's family. We're citizens of His kingdom. In Christ we are new creatures. Old things have passed away. All things are become new. We are now saints instead of sinners. Now, we stand guiltless before the presence of God, clothed in the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it's all because of Calvary and because of God's grace. You know, I've been in the ministry since 1950, ever how long that's been. I wish I could charge for salvation. Man, if I could, I'd be one of the richest men on earth. I wish I could sell it. I believe there are more people who would buy salvation than there are who will accept it as a free gift. It's amazing. And here for 65 years, I've been trying to give it away. Through the ages, God has sent millions of his servants out as pastors, evangelists, missionaries, giving away salvation. You know why? Because God could not set a reasonable price on it. He couldn't set an affordable price on it. No one could meet the price. It would be a commodity too expensive to buy. So he decided to give it away, free of charge. And it's still offered as a free gift. After all, you got sin free. What about salvation? It's free too. And there's no competition in the salvation market. No one else has a comparable product to sell. There's no competition. Oh, Satan has tried to conjure up a facsimile, but it's just a fake imitation all the way through. It's like going down here across the border to Tijuana and buying you a genuine Rolex watch from a street vendor for $35. Made in China. There's only one place that real, genuine, authentic salvation can be found, and that is at Calvary. Amen. In Christ Jesus. Amen. The only place. Oh, we'll still die physically. But don't worry about it. That's no problem. Our soul and spirit just go to heaven, to the presence of God. You know the saying, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's our assurance. Just prior to Jesus' return to this earth, where he will rule and reign for 1,000 years, he will resurrect our bodies from the grave, and we shall rule and reign with him. So he gives everybody, everywhere, an opportunity to go to heaven simply by believing that Jesus Christ is his son and accepting him as their personal savior. So we have a choice to make. What will it be? Salvation or damnation? Justification or condemnation? Will it be heaven or hell? The eternal destiny of our immortal souls is in our hands. We make the determination as to where it will go and where it will spend eternity. So what will you do about it? What will you do about it? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth upon him. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Thank you for listening this morning. I hope that we were able to say something that the Holy Spirit of God can use to bring you into the presence of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the grace that brought salvation down to us. We thank you for the reminder from the Word of God that we were sinners, that we were lost, but that you, through your grace, found us and redeemed us with the blood of Jesus shed on the cross when he was crucified. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would know the hearts of each and every person within the sound of my voice, and that you would help us to understand and be convinced that our soul is right with you. We thank you for what you've done for us and what you are doing for us. And we thank you for this wonderful gospel that we can share with others, even our loved ones who are unsaved, that they might come to know Christ as well. If there's one here today whose heart has been touched by the Holy Spirit in this message, and you're speaking to them and urging them to do whatever it is that you want them to do, I pray that they will advantage themselves of this opportunity and come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
498, without him.
Is calling you today. Congregation, appreciate the attention you gave to the preaching of God's word. Hope that we said something that'll stay with you. And when you rattle the coins in your pocket or your purse, just remember the two sides. One is sin, the other is salvation. As we're dismissed in prayer this morning, Brother Sam Burton, will you lead us, please, in our benediction?
Lord, Father.